When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for tuning into Americana Music Profiles. The next episode starts right now.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Paul J. Bulger is a roots rock singer-songwriter from Ireland with a flair for the Americana. He's been making music since the late 1980s, along with his career as a writer and a filmmaker. Paul joins us to talk about his third album, Beware of Trains, that was partially recorded in the United States, as well as an interesting conversation about the differences in Americana and folk rock music between the United States and Ireland. Hi, Paul. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for taking the time out of your day. We're chatting offline here a minute ago. You're hanging out in a pub, is that right?
No, I'm in a record shop.
Actually. A record shop. Okay, that's even more appropriate.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, no. I might go to the pub after.
But... Okay. Well, it's... we haven't had lunch here on the East Coast, and you're about ready to wrap your day up, right?
Yeah, it's getting to the end of the day, yeah.
Yeah, Ireland. What part of our... has that been home for you for your whole life?
Yes and no. Well, I was born here. I'm in the south. I'm on the bottom of Ireland in the southeast in a place called Waterford.
Okay.
You might have heard of Waterford Crystal. It was a famous kind of a thing that they used, glass they used to make. It was very popular in the States. But no, it's in the southeast of Ireland. And yeah, I'm from here, but I've lived and traveled all over the world.
Okay.
And I moved back here about 10, 15 years ago.
Okay. Cool. And been involved in the music industry, if I read correctly, for quite a while, right?
Yeah, well, yes. I was, since I was a kid, on and off. And I also am involved in film. And
okay.
I'm also involved, I do a lot of film work, and I'm an illustrator, writer, whatever, lots of different things. And music, yeah, I was doing it like most people when they were younger, and then I kind of drifted away. I was always writing songs and everything, but I got back into it and making music and releasing music again about 6 years ago.
Awesome. And you mentioned film and writing. Has that been pretty much your career? Is that what you've done for your entire work life?
Yeah, I suppose it is. I mean, the music has been there as well, but I've kind of, the way I used to use the music side of things was when you're making films or animation and different things, you know, it's not that you're writing and recording songs, but you're always working with music as a storyteller,
right,
too.
Right.
So I've always been around it, but I suppose the filmmaking and the drawing and the writing and all that, to me, they all feed off each other.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose I made a living mostly for the last however many years in the film thing, and now I've shifted my gears to more towards trying to make music and then just get back in and enjoy that more.
Because yeah.
It's a much quicker process. It's a much more immediate process. You know, film takes a long time, you know.
What type of film work are you involved in?
It's mostly in animation.
Okay, cool.
So I would have directed a couple of feature films, and I do a lot of storyboarding work. I consult on a lot of films. I help produce films. A lot of movies over on this side of the pond in Europe. I've worked on a bunch of American stuff through European or UK Irish studios. So yeah, I've worked on a lot of different stuff.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you've got a couple albums out. You've got new one that's coming out this summer. Very Americana. I think your press note said roots rock, which I hear that too. Has that always been your style? Has that always been what you're fond of?
Well, kind of. I guess I would have originally been doing a lot of hard rock when I was younger.
Mm.
And but I always kind of had a liking for the likes of Steve Earle, Lucinda Williams,
yeah,
and I liked
right.
Townes Van Zandt and that. It's not so much the more regular kind of country thing. I always like the stuff was a bit skewed. And when I started writing songs again, that's what just started coming out, probably from just listening to that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Is there a pretty solid audience where you are for that style of music?
There's even more in Europe and in the UK. Mm-hmm. It's huge over there. Mm-hmm. Huge over there. And here it's very popular here, yeah. I think that term Americana is interesting because I was in Nashville, the new one that I sent you there. We did that in Nashville last year. I played, and the guy who produced it is a guy called Steve Dawson, who's down there in Nashville. And John Prine's bass player played on it. So he brought in all these stellar musicians, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And my thing, I suppose, I don't know, it doesn't really have an Irish flavor, I guess. It is leaning more into your country's music, but it's just a style that I love. And I guess it resonates with Ireland, and Steve is Canadian, and we all have a similar thing going on, I guess, in the music. It all has the same roots, and that's why I lean into the root. Because on that new album, there's a bit of rock and roll, there's a bit of this, there's a few ballads, there's a bit of whatever, you know. And even on the last one that I did, we kind of leaned a little bit into Irish vibes and feels, so it's a slightly traditional feeling on one or two things. But that kind of music is popular, definitely, and it's getting more and more popular.
Maybe you're familiar with the term red dirt rock?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I hear that. Whatever definition that is, I hear that in some of your songs, which is really cool.
Okay.
Maybe not traditionally, but there's a very American kind of roots feel to it. So, I like the vibe that you've created with that. Has that been just more centered on this record, or were the other two in that genre as well?
The first one I did in Canada, and that was with a small label in Canada who do. I think they lean more into the folky side of rock, and folk is hard to define as well. But being Canadians, I guess they have a slight lean into like if Neil Young was to play folk, it's not pure folk, you know. It does have
a different sound. Yeah, yeah,
yeah, it does. And the second one we did here in Ireland with a friend of mine who's a great guitar player, and he brought in his friends to help me, and that has, I suppose, a more guitar-driven thing. But there are some parts of it which we're leaning into. We used some Irish instruments like Irish drums, and we had certain feelings in some of the songs. But that, it was always that, like, I think the thing that connects it all is that rootsy. Like, I'm working on a new one at the moment with another friend of mine who's coming at it from a slightly different point of view again.
Mm.
But there's always this common thread of it's organic and it has to be played on real instruments. And, you know, it's Red Dirt is good. But isn't Red Dirt, is that not attached to a particular part of the States?
It is. It's more kind of a Midwestern. And I think that they do a lot of that style in Australia, too, because there's a lot of.
They do.
Right.
They
a
do.
lot of that outback that's unpopulated. Yep. So, yeah, I think it's a combination of both of them.
And that's actually, I mean, maybe what I'm delving into is green dirt.
There you go.
Because of Ireland being so green.
Right.
But there's definitely that earthy kind of feel.
Maybe we just coined a new term. You might need to research that.
There you go.
green dirt rock. Well, if I see that show up in the next 6 months somewhere, I'll know where it came from.
But maybe we should form a new record company, Green Dirt Records.
Hey, there you go. Wow, you just got a whole new business plan right here in the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, there you go.
Are all of these songs that you've written originally? Is that your thing?
Yeah, they are primarily. There's one of them, the single that's out now at the moment with Siobhan Mara Kennedy, who's based in Nashville. She sings on it with me, and I wrote that song with a friend of mine, the guy I'm working on the new stuff with. And then there's the other one, Dance to Where You Stand, which is the kind of spoken word track, and that was written years ago, back in the 90s. I did an album back in the 90s, and that had different names, so I kind of reimagined it a little bit. So that was with another friend of mine, but mostly they're mine, yeah.
Yeah, yes. Okay, that's cool. Do you have a process for your songwriting? I know everybody who writes songs has a kind of a different approach.
Yeah.
How do songs come out for you?
I don't know, to be honest. It's interesting. Sometimes it might be just a thought. Like I might hear somebody say something and you grab a title or I just think up, I react to something that I've heard, or there's a particular feeling I get from, you may strum out some chords and they have something. But once I sit down, it's very mechanical. Like I actually get stuck in and I'll spend a day. Like I'll be the last one to go to the bathroom. I'll be the last one to eat because I want to get that thing done, you know? So there might be a lot of sketchy ideas. It's quite similar to the process I would have done with films or making books or whatever, where you just have a whole envelope or box full of ideas, and then you might find a thread that's interesting or a subject you want to talk about or a melody that works, and you think, okay, I have this thing that I'll try and match those up. Sometimes it's a jigsaw, one or two of them. There's one song in particular on the first album, Wedding Gown, and that was written in a straight run 10 minutes. It was done.
Really?
Crazy.
Okay.
It just came out. Yeah, I just sat down one day and had this idea about a story about a guy who he loses his wife in childbirth, and then when the baby grows up and he loses her to an abusive son-in-law. So it's this whole domestic weird story.
Wow.
I just had in my head. Yeah, and actually I wanted to do it as a movie. It was an
really?
Idea I had for a film.
Yeah.
But it was very, very, very dark film, you know.
Yeah.
And it never, a lot of these films never happen. So I had a script, I think, or I might have had a rough idea. And then I just put it into a kind of a poem, I suppose, like a bunch of rhyming. I finished out all the actions with a rhyme, and then I had it sitting around for years. And when I did that record in Canada, I played it to the guy who was the producer, and he just thought, yeah, this is great. And we kind of made it a bit cinematic. It's quite long, it's quite slow, it's a bit weird, but it worked. But that was written in one 10-minute sitting.
Wow. Wow.
Almost in real time. Very strange.
Wow.
But amazing.
Wow, that's cool. You mentioned an interesting point. As a filmmaker, how does do you see all of your songs in picture form? Most songwriters aren't filmmakers, and so they're dialing into a thought or an emotion.
I don't know. I think it depends on the song. Some of the songs can just be a simple emotion or a thought, exactly. And then some of them may be telling a story. And in my head, I've worked out, if I had to make this as a short film, this is how I visualize it. I have another band that I play with, and it's a hard rock thing that we, just a bunch of friends, we got back together and started playing a bit of hard rock and started to work, and it's interesting. But we wrote this crazy, big, long, epic song just for fun. And already I can see that as a movie. You know, I'm already thinking that song is soundtrack to that film.
Yeah.
So now we're trying to figure out how we might shoot it. So some of the videos that we've done, they are just performance, for example. But one or two of them, I've kind of put a little bit of a story slant on them or a kind of an idea. And I think one feeds off the other. So it's hard to say. I would say it's 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
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 Okay. So I don't think we've mentioned the name of the album, and I'm looking here in my notes. So what's the name of the current album?
Oh, it's called Beware of Trains.
Beware of Trains, okay. And I think you mentioned that it, at least part of the album, is tied to an older EP that never released.
No, that might have been just, I might have wrote that wrong. No, the old, what happened was, in this record shop, actually, I was talking to the guys who own it, and we were chatting about cassettes of all things, and cassettes are back in fashion,
right? Which are coming back, yeah.
Yeah, and so they were selling some cassettes here, and I said, oh, I think I have cassettes in my attic, you know. And it turned out that I did, and I had 75 copies of an old EP that I never released from 25 years ago.
Oh wow.
And okay. Yeah, so I found them. We made a new cover, and the guys actually have it here in the store, so it's funny. But but that EP would have been a bridge between the last one and this. I just had it, and I thought, I'll just put it out and see what happens. But there is
okay.
no link.
Okay, so it's an older album that you just finally released, but there's nothing of that material that's on this new record.
No.
Yeah, Beware of Trains. Okay. Yeah.
And the song that I mentioned is from an older thing. That would have been even further back in the 90s. That was from an earlier record that we did in Dublin, actually. We had a different band, and it was an old song that I had lying around, a kind of a bluesy thing, with a friend of mine who plays amazing harmonica, and he kind of gave it a really cool bluesy kind of feel. But for this new one, I asked Steve Dawson, who plays the lap steel on the new song, let's say the new version.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't give him a listen to the old version at all, actually. But what he does on the lap steel echoes what that other guy did on the harmonica, independent of each other. So it's like a reworking of a song that never really got heard, and now people are, it's gotten a good reaction, actually.
Yeah,
it's quite nice.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. What is Beware of Trains? Where did that
it's
come
very
from?
Funny. I look, there's, I could make up a big crazy story and give you some load of crap, but I was on the other side. We we have a big river that goes through the city here, and I was on the other side of the river. I was walking home for some reason, and I think we have train tracks which are next to this port that's no longer in use. And they had an old sign that I just took a photograph of that said, "Beware of trains, don't walk on the tracks." And I went, "That's a great name for an album."
Right, yeah.
And so on the back of the CD, there's a photograph of a sign with "Beware." And that's that photograph. I took it on my phone, but it always stuck in my head as an idea for an album name because it's such a cool name. And then I was in New York last year, just before the Nashville trip. I was staying with a friend of mine from here who lives over there. And I was telling him, you know, he said, "What are you going to call the album?" And I told him, and he said, "Ah, there's a place in upstate New York we should go for a drive." And there was, I don't think you'd quite call it a graveyard of trains, but it was an amazing place somewhere up by Woodstock where there are all these old locomotives from all the generations of American trains, you know, back as far as the cowboy old steam engines up until diesels from the 50s.
Right. Yeah.
So those photographs of me and the CD and all that, they're all from that place.
Oh, awesome.
And I thought, well, this definitely has to be the name of the album.
Yeah, right, right. So the song then doesn't have anything to do with that necessarily. Yeah.
No.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah. No. That's cool. So what does it look like to share this with audiences? Do you go out solo? Is it a band? Are you on tour?
At the moment, we're actually playing between now and Christmas. I'm doing a bunch of acoustic duo kind of gigs with myself and a friend of mine. Maybe in the new year, I'll try to put a band. I have friends, another band here locally who are very good, and they've offered to help me to do that. So right now, we're doing supports. So we're playing with a lot of better-known bands around here. Looking at over in the UK, Scotland, maybe in England, go over there, maybe see if we can do something. But it's tough to get a band together and keep it together.
Mm-hmm.
So I figure I'll use this one, maybe go in under the wings of some other people I know, play before them, play to their audience, see what they think. And then in the new year, we'll try and do a bunch of... I would rather play lesser gigs to people, fewer gigs, sorry, to more people who are interested than just go off on a slog of playing. Because Ireland's quite small. And the problem with it is it's not a big population. So you end up, I don't know, I just don't want to end up driving around the country and kind of be self-defeating. I would rather go to places where I think people will be interested. That's really what I'm trying to do. Yeah.
Is there a lot of outlets to be able, you said driving around and being a smaller country, I'm showing my ignorance about your country, but are there a lot of close proximity outlets and pubs and venues and stuff?
There are. It's like it is small here, but I suppose they're the places that we would go to or play are quite far apart.
Hmm.
So it's not like over. I mean, where are you? Which part of the states are you in?
I'm on the East Coast in Virginia, so I'm not far from New York, Washington D.C. That part, I'm probably 5 hours from New York City.
Right, yeah, okay, so it's not too far. But, you know, like, you've got the massive population and you've got the big cities and all that. Over here, it's like, I suppose Ireland might be closer to what maybe Massachusetts is or one of the smaller states, you know, it's kind of like that.
Yeah.
So the population can be maybe densely populated in one city or two cities and the rest is quite rural, countryside.
Yeah.
So just going around and playing in tiny little bars and everything, especially playing original music, I wouldn't mind doing it if I thought there was some kind of comeback. So I'm kind of thinking, no, hang on, I've done that for years. I'd rather be a bit more strategic.
Yeah.
And right. You know, go to a place where people might tolerate music they've never heard before. If I go to some of these other places, you know, I might get, it'd be like the Blues Brothers, you know, they'd be throwing things at me. Play songs we know, you know.
Any thoughts of, I think you said you recorded it here or parts of it here in the United States.
Yeah.
Any thoughts of coming back with the finished product?
Well, I would love to. It was an accident how it happened over there, actually, because the guy who did the second record with me, he had a friend of a friend who has that studio in Nashville,
right.
And I was down there. I went to the Americana Fest just to see what it was all about.
Oh, okay, yeah, Nashville.
I was on holidays, you know, I was just hanging out and checking out all that stuff, and I'd never been there before, and then friends of friends, and I met more friends, and in the end I had these few songs, and I gave Steve a listen, and he brought in the people, and I just sat there in amazement, you know, literally didn't do anything. I didn't do anything over there myself. I was almost like just present when they were doing what I hired them to do. But when they sent me back then the bones of everything. You know, I did the vocals here. I did my guitar here. There's a couple of lead guitar solos that are on the album that were done here. There were parts done in Canada. So I would say 70-80% of it was done in Nashville with Steve.
Okay.
And then he would have followed up. You know, so I was there. I was with him just for a few days. So with my friend there in New York, we're looking at it at the moment to figure out how the visa thing works. And,
right.
You know, to go back, I wouldn't want to go back there and sort of, you know, be under the radar. It's too risky. But, you know, sure. I just don't need the grief.
Right.
Because
right.
I have, you know, it's not like I'm well known or anything, but I just don't want to be in a situation where a project comes up and I can't get to the States because I went in under the radar and the local police go, what the hell? You know, you're here illegally. You can't do this.
Right.
No.
Right.
So if I go back there, it'll have to be done properly. And I would say we are looking at something next year where, through this friend of mine who knows a lot of people in the music business, that it may well be the major cities. We may do like your part of, like we have a friend who lives in North Carolina, for example.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
We have. Yeah, you know, and maybe we look at all the cities on the East Coast and do a bit of a trip and go, and like New York to Nashville via all those major places.
Right,
there.
Yeah,
and
then East maybe, Coast, yeah.
You know, yeah. Yeah, and kind of take 2 weeks and see, can we do that? You know,
yeah.
And I think that might be doable next year.
Yeah, that's cool. You mentioned a few minutes ago that you're already kind of working on a new project. Is that similar to what you've done or we've got something new?
It's a little different. I suppose it's still in that world. It's green dirt, you know.
We right,
green
dirt.
But no, it's a chap that it's a friend of mine here who played on one or two of the songs on the Beware of Trains, and he's originally from he grew up in England, and he's a bit younger than me, and he has a different kind of he's into the same kind of music as me, but he's into stuff that I wouldn't have listened to, a lot of English Brit pop and all that kind of stuff,
right?
And he's brought a certain influence in. He's from Manchester, so there's a certain feeling of the Smiths or the Stone Roses or whatever. There's a kind of a different feel coming in under what I do myself. So it's an interesting blend. It's an interesting blend of what the new album is probably and whatever he's bringing to the table. But we are leaning more into the acoustic side of things.
Okay.
So it may not be as electric, which is kind of cool. And we may, on this one as well, tap back into the more traditional instruments like fiddles and maybe Irish drums and just to see what happens.
Sure.
But the rhythms we're playing with are definitely not Irish, and I don't think I don't even think some of them are rock and roll. They're kind of a bit askew. And I suppose one of the influences was what, say, Robert Plant has been doing the last few years, where he plays around with a lot of different rhythms inside a country-ish Americana. And I really like that.
And
you know, so...
Yeah, that's cool. I like that feel.
That's kind of, it's good. And you know, we all love Neil Young, and we all kind of like that late 60s, early 70s feel. There's a lot of those records were amazing. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, from all the different styles of music, from the likes, even from Townes Van Zandt to Black Sabbath, there was something going on between 68 and 73.
Right.
I don't know what it was, but there was something in the water.
Right.
So we're kind of living on a diet of those records.
Yeah, that's cool. I like that. I like that perspective. So the album is Beware of Trains, out now.
Yeah.
How can folks find it, get in touch with you? How do you like to communicate with your fans?
Well, they can find me if they go to the website, pauljbulger, BOLGER.com. And if you go to Bandcamp, pauljbulger.bandcamp.com, and we can post CDs anywhere in the world. It's not a problem if people want them. And everything, the whole lot is there. That cassette we talked about earlier.
Oh, cool.
Copies of even that old album from the 90s. And you can listen to it. And I think the stuff is on Spotify, so people want to check it out.
Okay.
And the videos are on YouTube.
Yep.
So if you just look up Paul Bulger but put a J in the middle, because I found out there's five other guys with the same name making music.
Right.
So there you go.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool. Well, thank you, Paul. Man, this has been great.
Thanks, man.
I love
thank
your music, you. And I'm looking
thank
forward to what Green Dirt Records produces.
Hey, come here. I'm going to have to cut in on that.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. Well, thanks for taking the time to chat with us today.
Thank you. Thanks for calling me. Thanks a million.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.